You can be there in under an hour. The latter was true, Krychek having located his private facility on the outskirts of Moscow, on land that was otherwise unoccupied except for trees and wildlife. Before I go, Silver added, I need to see the clan. Quietly tell my friends that I have to be away from Denholm for a while. He sensed no sadness or bleakness in her, only a fierce determination.
Don't betray your secret,
he said.
It protects you.
It wasn't that he didn't trust his clan, but they were a big group, and people could let things slip without any bad intentions behind the slip.
Agreed.
Silver smiled.
We'll do this. We'll beat it.
Hell yes, we will.
Exhausted by the tests and the level of noise in her head, Silver nonetheless continued to hold on to hope. It was hard, but she refused to surrender, to give in. If she did, it was Valentian who'd hurt, and that was simply unacceptable. After the long day, she was almost surprised when the surgeon stated that he had enough data to perform the operation.
3 hours,
Dr. Bashir told her.
You should inform the large male who dropped you off. I certainly don't want him coming after me for lack of notice.
Silver nodded and, sitting up on the examination table, waited for the surgeon to leave before saying,
Arwen.
Her brother had waited outside while Dr. Bashir completed his final examination, a full-body workup. Her overall health would factor into her recovery.
Are you clothed?
Her brother asked.
No, I'm stark naked and looking to involve you in an incestuous orgy.
Pushing aside the privacy curtains, her brother walked in with a faint scowl, his designer gray suit paired with a tie in a darker gray, his shirt white.
Those bears are a bad influence on you.
But there was no humor in his face, in his eyes.
So?
She just nodded and opened her arms. He jerked into them, holding on so tight she could barely breathe. She held him back as closely, her sensitive, gifted brother who had kept her human, even in the depths of silence. The empath who would make sure she didn't turn into a psychopath, even if she lost the capacity to feel.
I'm Silver fucking Merkant, Arwen. This won't beat me.
Arwen's jerking tears came to a sobbing stop before turning into muffled laughter against her shoulder.
Those bears again.
Melindian.
The thought of him made joy fill every cell of her body, made her know what it was to be fully alive.
Are you saying he's wrong?
Arwen shook his head, his arms still locked around her.
You are Silver fucking Merkant.
She stroked his hair until he lifted his head. Wiping off the remnants of his tears, she said,
I love you, Arwen.
She'd never said that to him, to her twin who wasn't a twin. His throat moved as he swallowed convulsively.
Me too,
he said, his voice a rasp.
You know, Grandmother will never forgive you if you do this without telling her.
I'll talk to her after I tell Valentian the time of the operation. Grandmother will handle it much better now that I can present her with a solution.
Arwen's eyes held hers.
Come back, Silver. I can't do life without you.
You should call Pasha. He knows how to do life, and I'm sure he wants to do certain things to you, too.
Color flooded Arwen's cheeks.
Ugh, you've definitely been corrupted by the bears.
Lifting her phone off the side table with that accusation, he handed it to her.
You'll want to call Grandmother and your Alpha Bear yourself.
Yes. She waited until he'd stepped out before making the call to Valentian. Then, she called the woman who'd been the defining force in her life. 2.5 hours later, Silver sat prepped and ready on a hospital bed, Valentian in front of her.
Promise me something,
he said. When she tilted her head questioningly to the side, he said,
If the operation takes your emotions, I want you to promise me 10 dates afterward. A chance to win you back.
I promise, Silver said without hesitation.
But, Valentian, you understand nothing will win me back if my emotions are permanently suppressed.
She touched her lips to his before he could answer, the kiss a gentle thing. It was so strange how powerful touch could be. She could keep this big man in place with a butterfly caress. Once she'd have taken it as a sign of weakness on his part, power on hers. That was before she understood the touch would have as deep an impact on her, that she'd do anything to make him smile, make him feel pleasure. Today he shuddered, this strong bear who had hands twice as big as her own and whose physical strength dwarfed hers many times over. You'll lose me, she said, because she had to prepare him for the hurt she might inflict. The surgeon believes there's a 75% chance of success. Valentian's face cracked into a huge smile.
Damn, that's good.
There's also a very high chance that the operation will permanently deaden the part of me that feels. Ashaya and Dr. Bashir had come to that conclusion earlier today. I'll be gone. You'll lose me.
You'll lose yourself, too.
Valentian's voice came out raw.
The woman you are without silence. The full brightness of you, Solnishka Moya. It'll be shoved into a small box.
Silver went motionless. She'd been so worried about him that she hadn't thought about the consequences to herself. It slammed into her with brutal force. If the surgeon did turn off the part of her that felt, it would permanently turn off a part of her. The part that could hug and tease her brother. The part that could kiss a child's cheek. The part that felt not only loyalty toward her grandmother, but also a deep, deep love and an unending pride. The part that loved Valentian until loving him was an essential element of her being. Oh. A shaky sound of acknowledgement. Powerful arms wrapping around her, a bass heartbeat against her cheek. I'll die, she whispered. Part of me, a part I've barely had the chance to explore. It'll die.
But you'll live.
Her mate's voice was barely human.
You'll live, and you'll be Silver fucking Merchant, who owns her enemies, and who I'll get to see shining bright for the rest of my own life.
Silver blinked back the staggering sense of loss. I'll be able to protect my family in the coming decades of uncertainty. So many lives, so many futures. And I'll be there for Stonewater. I vow this. Even if I forget my emotions, I'll remember the vow. So long as I draw breath, the clan will always have a friend in the Merkins. Amber eyes stared into her own, her Valish's forehead pressed to hers. His generous heart deserved to never again feel pain, but she knew he'd endure it because that was who he was, an alpha to the core, a man who would never let her down.
Silver fucking Merchant, Ice Queen, and my mate, the boy of Moya.
His voice shook on the words of love.
You will be that to me to my dying day. If the worst happens, and if you ever need me, call. I'll be there. I'll always be there.
Chapter 39.
Death comes in endless forms. Of the body, of the soul, of the heart. Katrina Merchant, philosopher and warrior. Circa 1419. They'd come full circle, Valentian thought as he sat beside Ina Merchant in the waiting room of the private hospital early the next morning.
Once again, he waited to see if Silver would wake up, while beside him sat a regal woman who reminded him too much of the brilliant, driven telepath who was his other half.
You've made a sacrifice.
Ina's voice was as cool as always, as cool as Silver's could get when she wanted to make a point.
Grandmother, I have no idea what you're talking about.
My granddaughter holds you in high esteem, Ina said. You could have convinced her to make a different choice. His head snapped toward her.
Hell no, I would have never done that.
Gritting his teeth, he rose to his feet, stalked across the small space and back.
We're talking about her life. If I could give up my own to save hers, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Ina's eyes lifted to his, alpha to alpha. She gave a regal nod right as his bear was starting to rumble in his chest.
Regardless of today's outcome, I won't forget what you were to my granddaughter.
Valentian thrust his hands through his already wildly tumbled hair, fought the urge to pull. Sitting down beside Ina, he did something he probably shouldn't. He reached out and put his arm around her. She stiffened but didn't pull away.
She's magnificent. And she's ours. We'll do whatever we have to do to protect her.
Yes. That was all that needed to be said. They sat in silence until the doors to the operating theater opened hours later. Ashaya and Amara Lane walked out together with the surgeon, a 40-something man of medium height. As expected, Amara broke off to head down the corridor in the opposite direction, while Ashaya and Dr. Edgar Bashir came toward them. All were dressed in surgical white, though they'd removed the transparent gear that would have covered their heads and faces during the operation, as well as all other accoutrements of the surgical suite. A man with disheveled dark blonde hair exited in their wake, jogged to catch up with Amara. Samuel Rain. No one came after him, the nurses still inside. Valentian and Ina had both risen to their feet at the first sign of the doors being opened.
How is she?
Valentian's bear wanted to rampage through those doors, grab hold of his starlight. Stable. Ashaya's answer made him stagger inside.
Then why aren't you smiling?
Blue-gray eyes held his, sadness swirling in their depths. I'm sorry, Valentian, but there is a close to 100% chance that her silence will be flawless when she wakes.
She's alive.
That was what mattered.
And she still has her telepathy?
Silver would rather die than lose that.
Unless there are unforeseen complications,
Dr. Bashir said.
Her telepathy should remain unaffected.
A single curl escaped the bun at Ashaya's nape to dance against her cheek.
The operation didn't go exactly as planned.
Ina stirred. Explain.
We couldn't cut the link between her audio telepathy and her emotions. Couldn't even see the pathway that appeared to exist in the scans.
Dr. Bashir began, the silver threads in his dark hair glinting in the overhead light.
As a result, we had to isolate the part of her that feels emotion.
Dr. Bashir based his surgical intervention on the neural information Amara and I collected during the creation of the chip,
Ashaya added, a fine tension to her jawline.
I just hope we weren't wrong.
Well, there's no reason to believe that,
the surgeon said firmly.
The logic of the surgery is sound. We effectively sealed off every conduit going from the emotional center of her brain. It's now an island unconnected to any other part.
Ashaya's eyes never left Valentian's, the understanding in them stark.
Since the, albeit limited, data we have supports the assumption that audio telepathy does not exist in the absence of emotion, I feel confident in saying it's been neutralized.
She's safe?
It was the only question to which he needed an answer. Ashaya and Dr. Bashir both nodded.
My mate, my heart's son, is safe.
It was Ina who spoke, and she spoke to him.
We knew it was a possibility that Silver might lose her emotions.
Valentin told her with his eyes that it was all right. He'd do everything in his power to help Starlight through this new part of her life, even if it was one that meant leaving him behind. Valentin didn't know how to stop loving someone. Ina inclined her head very slightly in acknowledgement. Ashaya's voice broke the silence, filled with an unspoken understanding between an alpha bear and an alpha sigh. The possible total loss of her emotions is why we discussed a remedial option with her. The surgeon was more blunt in his response.
I seeded her brain with fine biofusion tendrils, though I think filament is the better term in this case because these aren't offshoots of a larger biofusion implant.
Valentin didn't like the sound of any of that.
Why?
It came out so deep he saw Dr. Bashir wince.
The filaments integrate into the brain, Ashaya said. Become fused to it. Samuel and Dr. Bashir both saw the effect in the brain of another patient.
You two need to be clearer, Ina said, her tone flat.
In the course of his continuing work on creating a prosthetic
for Vasic Zen, Ina interrupted. I assume the experimental biofusion gauntlet left the arrow with artifacts in his brain that make ordinary options difficult. Why does any of that matter in Silver's case?
Because, Ashaya said, not taking Ina to task for having that privileged information.
Samuel inadvertently made a breakthrough that means his new second-generation filaments respond to conscious commands.
Valentin would be the first to admit he was no scientific mastermind, but he could put two and two together.
These things will let Silver what? Create new conduits?
Dr. Bashir gave a hard nod, his dark eyes shining with a scientific fervor that told Valentin he'd enthusiastically embraced the fall of silence.
With how untried the filaments are, the risk wouldn't be worth it to most people, but Silver's situation is unique, and she was adamant.
Valentin had no doubts at all about the latter. His Starlight knew her own mind, always had, always would.
For example,
Dr. Bashir continued.
If we did inadvertently damage her telepathic channels, she should be able to reintegrate them.
The older man drew in the air with his hands.
We seeded her entire brain with the filaments. She has the materials to create bridges wherever necessary.
Since Silver is more than smart enough not to want her audio telepathy back, that connection shouldn't be made.
Ina stared at Ashaya rather than the surgeon.
Exactly how experimental are these filaments in my granddaughter's brain?
No ordinary medic would ever think of using them, the scientist said frankly. The only reason we even offered Silver the option was the minor but possible risk of damage to her telepathy.
Ina continued to watch Ashaya without blinking, but Ashaya Elaine was mated to a very dominant leopard for a reason. She had the same kind of steel as Valentin's Starlight. Not flinching under Ina's icy regard, she said,
Samuel has been obsessively testing the new filaments since he discovered what they can do. To ensure their safety, Dr. Bashir didn't insert anything like a battery into Silver's brain, nothing that would create energy or reroute her own energy to the filaments.
She paused, her eyes going from Ina to Valentin. When neither one of them interrupted, she continued,
That means it'll take intense focus on Silver's part to use the filaments, but it also means that if they fail, they'll simply lie dormant.
How sure are you of that?
Valentin demanded, fighting the urge to grab the surgeon and scientist both and shake them for offering Starlight such a reckless choice. Didn't the idiots know that his Silver was a risk-taker? She hid it well under that cool, composed exterior, but his mate had a wild streak in her. Look how she'd ended up in bed with a bear. Dr. Bashir took a step back, his excitement fading under the force of Valentin's silent fury.
The only risk,
he managed to say,
is that long term their presence might cause a reaction in the brain. Silver knew that, accepted it.
Squaring his shoulders, the doctor cautiously returned to his previous position.
I've seen dormant first-generation filaments in another brain, basic Zens, since Merkins apparently know everything, exactly as rumored,
he added sourly.
I have no qualms in saying the danger is negligible. The brain doesn't seem to notice them unless they're active.
Valentian glared at the surgeon, even as hope bounced up inside his heart like a hyperactive puppy.
Let me get this straight. If Silver chooses to feel emotion, she could do it without risk.
It was Ashaya who answered.
As she'll be able to sense and test her own psychic pathways in a way no surgeon can, she could conceivably reconnect the emotional network to the rest of her brain without reconnecting the audio telepathy.
Like a road built around a swamp,
Dr. Bashir dared put in.
It'd still be there, but safely isolated.
Or that's how it's supposed to work.
Ashaya, her face drawn, slid her hands into the pockets of her surgical smock.
It's an experiment, but it's the best chance we could give her.
I can see her in the honeycomb. Ina's frigid voice. How is that possible?
Her brother ensured the connection didn't fail during the operation, though I don't know the technical details of how,
Ashaya replied.
Once she's conscious, she'll know it's in her best interest not to resist it. It should ameliorate the danger of sociopathy arising from a total lack of emotion.
Valentian thought of Arwen's smile when Silver had hugged him right before the operation, of the puppyish way the slick Psi male hung on his sister's every word. He'd be devastated by the change in her now that he'd seen who she could be with emotion. But as it did to Valentian, Silver's life meant far more to Arwen than his own happiness or sense of loss. The only reason he wasn't waiting with Ina and Valentian was because he was covering for Ina's unexplained absence.
Spasiba,
Valentian said to both Ashaya and Dr. Bashir.
You saved an extraordinary life today.
Of a woman who was already changing the world, and who would grow ever more brilliant as she grew into herself and into her strength. Valentian's heart would burst with pride for her, even as it broke.
Can we see her?
The nurses are moving her into an isolation room using a connected lift.
A nod back toward the surgical suite.
But Arwen will alert her to come to consciousness as soon as Dr. Bashir judges that she's stable enough to be awake,
Ashaya told him.
You can see her then.
That time came too quickly and far too slowly. Ina gave Valentian an extraordinary gift by permitting him to be the first inside Silver's room. His mate's face was pale but beautiful under the network of monitoring wires woven into her hair. They'd shaved that glorious hair in a small, square patch that would be easy to hide until it grew back. That'd be important to his starlight. Not because of vanity, but because it was part of her armor.
Her lashes lifted at that moment, the fuzziness of a psychic deep sleep rapidly replaced by acute intelligence.
Hello, Starlight.
He went to take her hand. She curled it away from him. A punch with a stone fist wouldn't have hurt more. His bear dropped its head, backed off. Swallowing the hurt because she was alive, was breathing, he curled his own hand to his side.
You're okay?
When Silver spoke, her voice was raspy but otherwise strong.
My mental acuity and telepathic reach are undamaged. The audio telepathy?
Dead.
A long pause, her eyes on him.
I remember our relationship together,
she said at last.
But I feel no compulsion to recreate it. I can no longer even understand why I acted in such an irrational manner.
She stopped speaking only long enough to swallow, wet her throat.
I recall asking for biofusion filaments to be put in my brain.
The puppy inside him, the hopeful innocence, it trembled.
Dr. Bashir got them in.
I won't be using them.
Silver's voice was toneless in a way it had never been, not even when she was shutting her apartment door in his face.
I don't know why the woman I was wanted to feel emotion again. Her memories are like those of another species altogether.
Do you understand?
Yes, Solnishka moya. I get it.
It crushed man and bear both to hear her speak to him as if he were some random person on the street. But seeing her chest rise and fall, seeing her free of the agony that had brought her to tears, it was worth every second of heartache.
I just came to see for myself that the operation was a success.
Unable to resist, he sneaked a touch of a strand of her hair that was spread out on the pillow.
Remember what I said. If you ever need me, all you have to do is say the word.
Silver Merchant, the woman who was his and yet, paradoxically, who might never be his again, said,
I appreciate all you did for me, Alpha Nikolaev. Without you, I may never have contacted Ashaya Elaine. I am in your debt.
He went to say there were no debts between them, decided to hell with that. Fighting fair wasn't on the agenda. Not today, not any fucking day until his heart physically gave up. His bear, wounded but determined, rose up on its feet, stared out of eyes he knew had shifted to amber.
10 dates.
He rumbled deep in his throat.
You owe me those.
I'll keep my word,
she said in the toneless voice that made him want to bellow in uncivilized rage.
But the outcome is guaranteed.
Then you have nothing to lose by holding to our terms.
Chapter 40. Love will find its way through paths where wolves would fear to prey. From The Giaour by Lord Byron, sigh, poet, lover, and soldier. Died 1824. It wasn't until Valentian was on his knees in the forest a day after the surgery, a bearish roar erupting from his mouth, that he realized one critical thing. His heart was battered black and blue with bruises, but it wasn't broken. Because the mating bond was gone and not gone at the same time. What? He froze in place. Silver's frost and fire was missing inside him, but he didn't feel empty. He should. He poked at the wound. Blah, it hurt. But he wasn't numb. Wasn't lost. He poked again, just to be sure.
Fuck!
Sulking at the pain because it meant his mate wasn't with him, he sat there in the fallen leaves and tried to make sense of something that didn't make sense. Changelings who lost their mates through death or other causes yet managed to hold on to life were faded shadows of themselves. Valentian's mother wasn't whole even after all these years. She functioned, but that was it. In contrast, Valentian was so angry and in pain and missing Silver as if he'd lost a limb. But he wasn't fundamentally broken. His bear wasn't anywhere close to insane. In fact, that bear was decidedly grumpy, but it remained firmly convinced that Silver was its mate. Oh, that puppyish hope sat up again, wagging its stubby tail. If the mate bond wasn't broken, then Silver couldn't be totally silent, no matter what everyone believed. They'd said it themselves. The brain was a complicated organ. Valentian scowled at the puppy. He was a damn alpha bear, he wasn't a puppy.
Zatknis!
But the stupid thing wouldn't shut up. Yip, yip, yip! It danced inside his heart. Getting up off his knees because it was annoying him, he threw back his head and made a loud sound that caused the smaller creatures in the forest to go motionless. That shut the puppy up. For about a minute. Then, yip.
Grrr.
Giving up, he found his phone, which he'd managed not to mangle, Silver might call him on it, and contacted Arwen. Silver's brother had given Valentian his code before the operation, saying,
You love my sister. You'll be hurt when she's silent. Call me if you wish to talk.
Valentian had the feeling the other man was the one who needed to talk. Right now, Valentian wasn't in the mood to talk to anyone except his mate, but he needed this question answered.
Arwen,
he said without explanation when Silver's brother accepted the call.
Can you still sense my bond with Silver?
Silver had told him she'd hidden it to protect it from curious eyes, but that Arwen, connected to her in the honeycomb, could see it through his empathy.
No.
The empath's voice was carefully gentle.
It's gone.
No, it wasn't.
It's there.
Valentian set his feet apart, prepared to become an immovable wall.
I don't know how, but it's there. I wish I could say it was, because that would mean my sister was whole and herself. But it's not, Alpha Nikolaev.
Valentian's scowl grew deeper.
The audio telepathy, it's definitely dead.
That mattered more than his hope or Arwen's need.
Oh, yes.
Arwen's voice dropped.
My sister is different. More silent than the silent. More silent than I've ever known her to be.
A long pause. The next words shaky.
I miss her.
So did Valentian. Every second, every minute, every hour.
You doing okay? Yes. Stop lying. You're hurting.
Bruised though it was, Valentian's alpha heart responded to the pain of a man who was now part of his family.
You know I won't betray you. Silver loves you. I'll protect you for that alone.
A shuddering breath.
Yes, I'm hurting.
The answer was fractured.
I'm trying to contain it for my grandmother's sake, but it feels as if I've lost part of myself. Grandmother is as strong as always, but I shouldn't be speaking of family matters with you. You know I'm family, Arwen.
No matter what, his soul was linked forever to Silver's.
Ina having a tough time. Tougher than I expected. I thought she'd appreciate Silver's perfect silence, but she's sad that Silver's lost part of herself. A grandmother would never describe it as sadness, but I know it's there. Like I've always known she would fight to the death to protect me and Silver. I'll talk to her. Grandmother isn't likely to appreciate it,
Arwen said, his tone distinctly dubious.
Don't worry, Arwen. I have a way with tough merchant women.
Hanging up to a strangled sound from the other man, Valentian headed to Denholm. Sergei was the first person he saw. The other man gave him a stiff nod, followed by a scowl.
It's not my business, Vala, but where's your mate? Did you make her angry enough to leave you already?
Had the question been asked in aggression, Valentian would have given him a response no one would have ever forgotten. But Sergei had spoken with unusual hesitation, with worry from a senior member of the clan to his alpha. Valentian clamped him on the shoulder.
She's as dangerous as a bear when she's riled.
The clan would understand a pissed-off mate.
I'm working on it.
A laughing grin.
In that case, I wish you well. I once had to chase my mate halfway across Siberia so I could beg her forgiveness. Worth the frozen balls.
2 hours later, when Valentian got into the car to drive to the hotel where Ina was staying in Moscow, he wished this was as easy as Silver being angry with him.
Courting her the first time around wasn't exactly easy,
he reminded himself. He was an alpha bear. He had balls big enough to handle rejection. Even as he grinned, even as his bear postured inside him, his heart ached. Because he, more than anyone, knew that sometimes love wasn't enough. Sometimes people changed so deeply that the change broke love itself. Part 2. The Human Alpha. Beau was running late for the early morning meeting with Krychek. The Psi telekinetic had messaged him only minutes earlier to ask if they could talk at a nearby building where he had another meeting. He'd asked Beau to bring Lily along, as he wanted to discuss a forthcoming ruling coalition media announcement.
Beau had tried to call him to see if they could reschedule for a little later in the day, but it had gone straight to voicemail. Given the importance of what Krychek probably wanted to discuss, he'd sent through a message that he was on his way. Halfway there, he got a confirmation message from the telekinetic.
In meeting. We'll be done by the time you arrive. I appreciate your time.
Odd that Krychek hadn't just teleported to him, but perhaps the other man was trying to be extra polite.
Beau snorted. Yeah, right. Likely Krychek was trying to tread softly in an effort to keep Bowen and the humans of the Alliance talking.
Sliding away his paper-thin but highly resilient phone that had survived water, fire, small children, and dogs, he smiled at spotting his sister. Lily had been meant to come in late to the office today, had been in the opposite part of the city from him, so they'd agreed to meet halfway. She was standing on the bridge where they'd arranged to connect, but instead of her usual serene sweetness, she was leaning over the side of the bridge and having an enthusiastic conversation with the gondolier below. The two had to shout to be heard over the music of a busker on this side of the canal, so he could hear her voice, though not what she was saying. Whatever it was, it had her laughing before she waved goodbye to the gondolier. The man pulled away to pick up a couple of excited tourists.
Flirting with Piero?
He teased on reaching her.
What will your tattooed doctor say?
Ha ha. You know Piero's wife would brain me with her hockey stick if I dared make eyes at him.
Stepping forward, she hugged Beau. He squeezed her back. They weren't talking about the degrading chip in his brain, the one that was likely to lead to his death in a matter of weeks, but that bleak reality was there every time he looked into his sister's face, as was his own knowledge that Lily's death would follow his if they didn't find a solution. She'd been implanted after him, but was now well outside the safe removal period. Their parents didn't know. That was something the two of them had to decide soon, whether to warn them, or to let them enjoy this time with Beau and Lily without that dark shadow hanging over every moment.
Have you eaten?
He flicked her hair back from her face after they broke the embrace.
Your favorite bakers have just put out a fresh batch of pastries.
The place was a few minutes' walk from the other side of the bridge, on their way to the meeting with Krychek.
Are you Psy now?
She poked at his abdomen.
How can you have seen that on the walk from the office?
Social media,
he said with a straight face.
They post a picture every time a fresh batch comes out of the oven.
Her lips twitched.
Who told you?
Neo.
He grinned.
He passed me as I was walking here. He was stuffing his face with a hot-from-the-oven croissant at the time.
Done. Let's go.
Turning on her heel, she began to stride away, her black coat sleek and her feet clad in little red boots.
Hurry up, Slowpoke!
She threw him a laughing look over her shoulder. And that was when he saw it. The red dot centered on her forehead. Ice crashed through his system, but Beau didn't freeze. He ran.
Get down!
The words were barely out of his mouth when he slammed into his sister, intending to take her to the ground. They didn't make it. The bullet hit his back, smashing through his body in a blast of searing pain that seemed everywhere at once. The momentum crashed them through the old bridge wall and into the canal below. He took Lily with him, her body held tight in his arms. She'd be safer in the water, where she could use the light and shadows to disorient the shooter. The water closed over their heads, bubbles everywhere. He kicked up, released her. He didn't think the bullet had gone through his flesh to hers, but he searched for damage nonetheless.
You hit?
He asked, finding it a little hard to breathe. Shaking her head, Lily gasped for air.
How did you know?
I saw,
Beau began when his heart gave a jerking thud. And the world blurred. Lily screamed at the same moment.
Beau!
He felt his body sliding down into the water, felt Lily clutch at him to keep him afloat. Other hands joined hers soon after, hauling him up, but he couldn't speak, his vision nearly all black.
Beau, hold on! Help is coming!
Desperate hands searching for the cause of the pain shredding his flesh. In the back of his mind, a mind that had a deep knowledge of weapons, Beau knew the bullet had been designed to fragment inside the body, causing maximum damage.
Lily.
It was nearly soundless, but she heard. I'm here, Bo. Her voice shook. Just hold on.
My brain,
he managed to say.
Use it.
His vision collapsed. He felt his heart give one more beat. Then, nothing.
Chapter 41.
Hope, you audacious beast. You dancing moonbeam, you loyal canine. I miss you.
Adina Merchant, poet. Born 1832, died 1901. A week after her release from the hospital, a full month following the operation, Silver knew intellectually that she'd lost a part of herself both she and others had valued, but she didn't experience any sense of loss. She felt nothing even when she went through memories tagged as powerful by her previous self. The concept of emotions, just that. A concept. Foreign. Difficult to grasp. Her mind was cool clarity, devoid of anything extraneous. At least not when she was awake. It was only when she was asleep that things went awry. She dreamed. She'd always dreamed, even in silence, Arwen's impact. The truly silent didn't dream. Or that was what the populace had always been told. If that were true, Silver shouldn't be dreaming. It wasn't as if she had any intention of willing the biofusion filaments to create a new safe pathway to her emotional core. Silver saw no reason to feel when she was so much more efficient in her current state. Her decisions during her emotional period were difficult for her to comprehend. Why, for example, had she found the bear alpha so intriguing? Genetically, he wasn't a male she should consider for reproductive purposes. The children were unlikely to be high gradient psi, though they would also have the ability to shift. Having a psi changeling child would be to her advantage as someone who worked with the other races, but it wasn't a big enough advantage for her to attach herself to a bear clan for life. Look at how laissez-faire the bears were and how they lived life. It simply did not mesh with her measured, calculated approach. She found it impossible to understand why she'd been happy living in an enormous cave system. Happiness itself, of course, was a concept she no longer understood. She had the words for it, but not the internal comprehension she'd once had. It was a lack she was willing to live with, given the myriad advantages. Her logic was sound. Yet night after night, she dreamed of Alpha Nikolaev. And in those dreams, she sensed his hair-roughened skin sliding against hers, drew his earthy scent into her lungs, woke, feeling as if she'd been entwined with a big, warm male body. Her sleep was deep and calm. It was only when she woke that confusion caught her in its grip.
It's apt to be an echo of emotion,
her grandmother had told her when Silver mentioned her dreams 2 days earlier.
The brain often fights losing pieces of itself.
It made perfect sense. Ina's next statement, however, hadn't been as rational.
Are you certain you don't wish to attempt to reactivate your emotional center?
Of course I'm certain. I'm far more efficient this way.
Efficiency isn't everything, Silver. I learned that when Arwen was born.
Silver was still attempting to process her grandmother's statement as she dressed to return to work. She'd overseen her team remotely to this point, but had decided it was time to go into the office. It was too early, according to Dr. Bashir, who continued to oversee her healing, but Silver felt capable, though she would maintain a close eye on her stress levels to ensure she didn't sabotage her return to health. It was also why she was still home at 9:45. A slightly less intensive schedule wouldn't be problematic, since it had become clear to her that she could achieve even more now than she had prior to the operation. She hadn't realized how much energy caging her TPA abilities sucked up until the act was no longer necessary. Ready, she walked into the kitchen area of her apartment to mix up a nutrient drink. The kitchen was large, full of sunlight,
the build optimized for the changelings who were the main tenants of this complex. The latter was how Valentian must have got in to slip a card under her apartment door 2 days earlier. That card sat on her small dining table. The picture on the front was from a children's story. A laughing blonde girl riding on the back of a huge bear. She knew the memory it represented, and that memory haunted her in her dreams. But it was the words inside that she found the most incomprehensible.
Silver fucking merchant. I told you nothing could keep you down. Happy 29th birthday. Oui.
It wasn't that she didn't understand the words. It was the impact those words had on her. She should have thrown the card in the trash as soon as she'd finished reading it, but instead, she kept it in a place where she'd look at it every single morning.
Throw it away, she ordered herself.
But when she left for the office 15 minutes later, the card was still exactly where it had been since she received it. Her reaction had to be part of the emotional echo effect. It'd wear off. Once outside her third-floor apartment, she walked carefully along a path that rose up above the lush grass of the huge central green area. The path had no railings or other handholds and was challenging in heels, which was why Silver had made it a point to master the task until her changeling neighbors gave her a thumbs up when they passed her.
Yo, Miss Silver!
The call came from a teenager whose family was living temporarily in the city while his mother undertook a lucrative short-term contract. The children would have usually been left with their pack, but as both teenagers had wanted to experience city life, they'd been permitted to enroll in a local school for the duration. Silver knew all that because the changelings insisted on treating her as one of their own. Not because of who she was, but because of the relationship she'd had with Valentian Nikolaev. Uncertain what a denial of that relationship would have on Valentian's status, she'd said nothing. He was no longer her mate, but she owed him and Stonewater a certain loyalty. More, she'd given her word that she would protect the clan to her dying day. Silver did not break her promises. As a result, people continued to treat her as his mate. The reaction held true regardless of whether it was a bear or wolf or non-predatory changeling with whom she was interacting.
Kristoff, why aren't you readying yourself for school?
She had a vague memory of hearing that they were starting at 10:30 today because of a teacher's meeting. The wolf male jumped up onto the path from the grass below, his grace that of a predator's, though his landing was shaky.
I got plenty of time.
He said with a covert glance at his timepiece after shoving his long black bangs out of his eyes.
I figured I'd get in some jumps.
Silver had no need to ask what he was talking about. She'd seen him jumping down from a number of the high pathways. She'd also seen him fall badly and had rendered first aid.
You do realize you're a wolf, not a cat?
The teenage boy made a face, his eyes deep blue against skin of wintry white.
Yeah, that's what Dad said when I fractured my ankle that time. But I hate those smarmy cats at school, always jumping off shit and trying to scare us.
I didn't realize there were any big cats in this region. The question came from the part of her that had once been mate to an alpha bear.
They're not that big, he said derisively. Just wild cats. Transferred because the Dad's some fancy deal professor. They got permission to be here. Oh, but they're so smug.
Thrusting his hands into his pockets, he slumped his shoulders forward and curled his lip.
They called me a feral wolf. Can you believe that?
I see. Did you respond?
Of course I did.
A growl that was nothing like Valentian Nikolaev's deep rumble, the sudden amber of Kristoff's eyes a much darker shade.
I couldn't let that insult stand. I put kitty litter in their lockers.
His laughter was bright, but it didn't fill the air, didn't steal her breath.
Ha ha, you should have seen their faces.
Disturbed by the direction of her thoughts, Silver took a firm mental step off that unproductive path.
Your action may escalate the conflict. No, I got detention, but so did they because they threw the kitty litter at me.
A distinctly self-satisfied look.
Second strike means an automatic expulsion, and I'm not done with the city. Neither are the kitties, so we've agreed on a truce.
Having reached the end of the path, the teen lifted a hand.
Mom's calling. I better boost.
She turned to ensure he landed safely after his jump, but at the same time, she listened. She picked up no hint of his mother's call. Clearly, whatever the teething problems with her operation, her TPA abilities were well under control. Assassination attempt. The fragment of breaking news came through her preset telepathic filters just as she reached the curb outside the complex. Before she could follow up on the news, a familiar, rugged all-wheel drive stopped in front of her. The driver, a heavily muscled man with impressively broad shoulders, reached across to push open the passenger side door.
Hop in. I'll give you a ride.
Silver entered the vehicle without hesitation. One thing she'd learned from the memories of her time with Alpha Nikolaev was that he'd never harm her. Since getting to the office earlier would allow her to complete more work, it was a good decision to accept the ride rather than taking the SkyTrain.
Thank you.
He swung smoothly into the traffic. The fresh scent of his aftershave drifted across to her, layered over the natural scent of his skin. That scent triggered a highly tactile memory of his hands skimming over her body, his muscled thigh pushing between hers, his hair falling forward and his smile an invitation. He'd been so warm, his weight heavy on her but not crushing, his chest hair rasping against her nipples. She considered the memory with detached focus, every detail clear in her mind, from the way his smile caused grooves to form in his cheeks, to how his breath whispered over her before his lips took her own, to the firmness of his mouth and the aggressiveness of his tongue. Despite the richness of the sensory detail, she was still in control, her pulse normal, her breathing even. She remained stable.
You still doing okay?
A gruff question. Silver thought of the card she hadn't thrown away, the one that sat in the center of her dining table in a silent taunt.
I've had no unwanted auditory input since the surgery.
The apartment? Everyone leaving you be?
For changelings, yes.
Had they been Psy, she'd have considered their behavior incredibly intrusive, but she'd successfully adapted to changeling norms.
As there are only a few bears, it's relatively calm. Only one window broken in the past 3 days.
Valentian chuckled, and the sound wasn't quite right. Wasn't what she remembered. As if he were muting himself. Valentian never muted himself.
And you? She asked. You lost a mate.
His hands, big and powerful, clenched on the steering wheel.
Right now, my mate is sitting next to me, alive and breathing, and with that brilliant brain going 100 miles an hour. So yeah, I'm doing okay.
Silver looked at the traffic he was dodging with such ease.
Turn right here. It's a shorter distance to MNET HQ.
The words didn't seem right either. Didn't seem to be what she should be saying.
So now that you're pure silence,
Valentian said after making the turn.
You ever think about rerunning the sex experiment?
Whatever compelled me to do that, it's been shut off by the operation.
What about the scientific benefits? Regular sexual contact with a willing partner is meant to improve health and general well-being.
Ignoring that deliberately provocative statement, Silver gave him another direction choice. This time he ignored it.
If we go this way,
he said,
I can show you something.
I have a schedule to keep, she said. There's just been an assassination attempt on Bowen Knight. He was shot.
Valentian's muscles bunched, all playfulness erased.
How bad?
Silver knew he considered the other man part of his extended family, but she had no good news to give him.
Early reports say it may be fatal.
You need to mobilize Emnet?
It was a good excuse, but Silver couldn't lie to this bear.
No. It's a political situation, not a humanitarian emergency.
If Bowen Knight did die, it could plunge the world into chaos, but for now, the peace was holding.
I'm sorry for the impact this may have on your sister.
Valentian's hands flexed on the steering wheel.
Nika is tough. She'll be there for her mate. But I'm going to give Stasia a heads up.
A glance at her, their eyes colliding.
I might be Alpha, but Stasia's the big sister who can bully Nika into telling her if she needs clan help.
Silver didn't interrupt while he used the vehicle system to make contact with Anastasia Nikolaev.
Make sure Nika's mate and family know Stonewater will offer any assistance we can,
he told his second.
I'll call her now,
Anastasia said before hanging up. Silver spoke into the quiet.
How is the situation with Sergei and the clanmates who returned with him?
Valentian shrugged.
We're growing stronger together as a clan. They're loyal, just scared.
Silver found herself turning to look at his profile, taking in the harsh angles of his face. He'd never be called beautiful, but Valentian Nikolaev had a presence that demanded attention.
You have a deep ability to forgive.
Prerequisite of the job. You've seen the shit bears pull. Imagine how crazy I'd be if I held grudges.
He brought the vehicle to a stop in front of a shop with a pink awning. She stared through the car window.
I've had my nutrition for the morning.
Yeah, but have you had waffles with maple syrup and strawberries?
He was out of the vehicle before she could respond. Opening her door, he said,
It's looking like the world might soon go to hell again. But today, there's time for waffles.
Deep, dark eyes locked with hers once more, his big body blocking out the light.
Remember your promise,
he said, and though she'd lost her emotional core, she had memories to draw from, knew it was a profound hurt he was trying but failing to hide. The bear inside him was badly wounded, and she was the cause.
I remember, she said. 10 dates. That was the promise.
A ring of amber around his irises, his body a muscled wall. She took a breath and his scent washed over her. Wildness and soap and warmth. So much warmth. Like that which kept her safe in her dreams.
I can't get out of the car if you block my way.
He was so close she could count each individual eyelash.
Why is your bear rising to the surface?
It wants to lick you up like honey,
he said. His voice a rumble and his attention that of a predator's.
It's missed you.
Silver knew that despite the memories between them, there was only one answer she could give.
It needs to get over that.
Because she wasn't his mate any longer, couldn't ease his hurt. A smile that didn't reach his eyes.
Come on then, Starlight. Let's go eat waffles.
Starlight. The address clicked into place inside her. Unable to process the sensation, or to explain it, she waited for Valentian to step back. He took his time, until she wanted to lift her hand and shove at his chest. Her palm tingled, remembering all the times she'd done exactly that. Not just to Valentian, but also to other bears who'd tumbled into her. It hadn't been done in anger. That was simply how bears interacted. Tactile and a little rough. Never too rough with her, however, as they were never too rough with the cubs. Stepping back at last, Valentian said,
After you.
Silver was expecting Valentian's steady hand on her waist, knew it was a stabilizing gesture done out of habit.
I can exit on my own.
He severed contact at once,
Whatever you say.
Suspicious of his quick agreement, Silver had her guard up when they entered the waffle restaurant. The maitre d' looked Valentian up and down with a jaundiced eye.
Break it and you pay for it.
Valentian's response was startling. Grinning, he grabbed the stern and well-built brunette up into his arms and off her feet, pressing a kiss to her lush red lips.
Nice to see you too,
he said after setting her down. Smile wide, she slapped at his chest.
I mean it. I'll send you an invoice if you so much as bend a spoon.
I only did that once.
Valentian released her with that scowling statement.
You got a table for us?
The brunette tilted her head, the smile she bestowed on Silver blindingly warm.
It's good to finally meet you. I'm Victoria.
Thank you for fitting us in, Silver said, waiting until she and Valentian were seated and alone to ask her question. Do you kiss all maitre d's?
Sure, why not?
His eyes were bare again, amber and challenging, his voice bad-tempered.
It's not like my mate's kissing me.
Chapter 42.
You don't have a mate.
Semantics.
Silver stared pointedly at her organizer.
How long will this take?
Reaching over, he grabbed her organizer, switched it off.
Confiscated for the duration.
He placed it beside his cutlery.
You promised to go on 10 dates with me. No fair if you spend it with your nose in your organizer.
Silver knew he was playing a dominance game, and she knew never to let an alpha bear win.
I can have my nose in my telepathic senses. How will you confiscate that?
He leaned back in his seat, sprawling to take over all available space, his booted feet on either side of her chair. Shoving his hand through the wind-blown strands of his hair, he said,
Starlichka, you know I'd never take away part of what makes you you.
Alpha Nikolaev.
Valentian.
A firm word.
You know you've been calling me Valentian since the day we met.
In his eyes, she saw the more intimate name he didn't say.
Valusha. Things have changed.
My name hasn't.
Primal amber eyes held hers. Silver refused to blink.
You're being difficult.
That's my other middle name. Valentian Mikhailovich Difficult Nikolaev.
Stubborn words, but the hurt he was trying so hard to hide, it remained.
Valentian, then, she said, deciding this small capitulation didn't send the wrong signal when he was wearing his heart on his sleeve. You must understand that I'm not the Silver you once knew.
While she didn't feel emotion, it was important to her that Valentian didn't have his pride crushed. He was Alpha. He needed that pride.
I know,
he said with a slow smile.
Your silver merchant point too. Even sleeker and sexier.
Alpha Nikolaev.
Valentian,
he said in a mock stern voice accompanied with a wink.
Here are the waffles.
The male server put a large plate in the center of the table. It was piled high with waffles doused in what appeared to be a sweet syrup, as well as sliced strawberries and cream. He then placed a single smaller plate in front of Valentian. Silver went to state she had no plate, and only then realized they'd forgotten to give her cutlery, too. Before she could point that out, however, the server was gone, moving so fast that it had to have been planned.
I thought you brought me here to eat waffles.
Valentian cut off a corner that was relatively clean of syrup and cream.
I did.
He held out the piece on his fork.
I know what you can handle. Trust me.
We're in a public location.
Changelings know you're my mate.
I'm not.
And the rest of the world already thinks we're having a hot and heavy affair.
His lashes shadowed the amber glow of his gaze.
Run with it, Solnishka Moya. It's good for your image,
That he was right didn't alter the fact he was once again playing dominance games with her. After taking a second to consider the situation, Silver moved without warning to grab the fork right out of his hand. She then fed the piece into her mouth.
Interesting.
She no longer had trouble with most foods, a holdover of her experiences in Stonewater. Valentian held out his hand.
My fork?
I think not.
Using the edge of the utensil, she cut off a piece that was thick with syrup before picking it up along with two slices of strawberry.
Here.
Valentian's eyes sparkled. Leaning in, he ate the offering.
Good,
he said.
But that was a girly bite. I'm a bear.
Silver thrust the tines into the top waffle and held up the entire thing to him, syrup and strawberry slices dripping off it onto the plate.
Better?
Throwing back his head, Valentian laughed. And the sound, it filled the air, filled the room, filled her up. Disturbed by the powerful intensity of her reaction, she went to lower her hand, but Valentian moved with that unexpected speed to grab her wrist. Tugging her forward, he took a huge bite out of the waffle she'd speared. His throat moved as he swallowed. Then he was back to take another bite. And another. He demolished it in under a minute.
That's more like it.
Applause erupted into the air. When Silver glanced around, she saw they were the center of attention. Each and every face wore a smile. As if taking Silver's glance for permission, the red-lipped maitre d' came over.
I have to admit, I wondered how it would work when I heard Valya had made it a sigh, but you can clearly handle a big hard-headed bear.
Silver didn't respond except to incline her head. Her and Valentian's relationship, or lack of one, was their business. Waiting until the woman had left, she lifted an eyebrow in a deliberate action.
I think we've eaten enough waffles.
Hell no, try this.
Picking up a whole strawberry, he held it out. Silver could have ignored it, but doing so would once again call their relationship into question. She bit into the fruit, allowed the burst of flavor to explode onto her tongue before lowering her voice to a level only he'd pick up.
I'm not her.
Not the woman he'd fallen in love with. Not the woman he'd mated. Not the woman who'd ridden his bear form through the forest.
I'll never be her again.
Shifting forward, Valentian grazed her cheek with his knuckles.
I know,
he said, his voice gritty and that huge heart of his in his eyes.
You're alive, Starlight. Everything else is secondary.
She felt the truth of that in every syllable. For her life, Valentian Nikolaev would do anything.
But,
he added,
I can't just let go. Give me the 9 more dates you promised me. After that, I'll only bother you once in a long while when the urge to see you